Hey, it's another episode of Azure Friday, and we're here with David Justice, who's going to talk to me about auto rest, which is interesting to me because I like APIs and I don't like writing code, so this will help me be more lazy.
Awesome. Thank you, Scott. Great to be here. And auto rest is really cool. Auto rest is a command line tool that we've built that takes Swagger specifications, HTTP API specifications, and transforms them into client REST libraries. So, like, generates out your code into strongly typed libraries that you can use from your applications to call these REST APIs.
Okay, so it's kind of like WSDL, but it's for REST APIs. But it seems like it's a little more flexible than the stuff that we did in the past.
Oh, certainly. So we aren't tied to like just simply REST. Swagger is very flexible, so you can work with non really REST compliant APIs or REST compliant APIs. It lowers the bar a little bit, the entry.
Sometimes when people see an API, they spend a lot of time reading the docs and then kind of handcrafting the HTTP calls. Is this meant to prevent me from doing that?
Yeah, well, you're still welcome to do it. Hmm. but hopefully it gives you a reason not to.
Okay.
And simplifies your life for making these APIs and then consuming them.
All right, cool. What do we got here?
So AutoREST is also an open source project. And we have a repo out there in Git. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants to contribute, they're more than welcome to. We love contributions and are always looking for people that are interested in implementing new flavors. Mm-hmm. So right now we have two languages in the dev branch right now. We have Node and .NET.
Okay.
We have alpha builds of Ruby and very soon Go. And then shortly thereafter, we're looking to get Java and Python in there.
So, okay, so the architecture is such that it is agnostic. It's not C# specific.
That's right. The tool itself is written in C#,
okay.
But it outputs any of these languages. And it creates them in two separate flavors. So we have these generators that will build out generic Swagger, so specific to the Swagger specification and without very many opinions.
Mm.
And then we have a more opinionated generator that generates out Azure Swagger. And this Azure Swagger is more appropriate for the APIs that we have in Azure. For example, we have things like long-running operations. So when you do a put to ARM REST APIs, you may get a location header back and a 202 saying it accepted that message, but hey, go ask for it over here later.
Mm.
So we handle that implicitly by allowing you to mark in your Swagger some extensions, and we'll go over a little some of those in just a bit.
Okay, so there's the language flavors, and then there's the non-opinionated versus kind of Azure opinionated flavor as well, and then presumably other flavors maybe in the future.
Precisely, yes, and it's totally extensible. You could create your own flavor.
Mm.
But that's a little rich for today. But
okay.
So why don't we go in and see what it looks like to generate out a client?
Let's do it.
Awesome. So I'm going to open up Visual Studio here, and I'm going to show we have two JSON files in here. We have a pet store JSON, which is just a really simple pet store. This is kind of the canonical example for Swagger. And then we also have a resource management client. So this is based on our Azure ARM APIs, and this is an example of Azure Swagger. So,
when you say Azure Swagger, is it in fact a different kind of Swagger? Is it legit Swagger, or are you just saying it's?
It is completely legit.
Okay.
Swagger had the creators of Swagger had some forethought, and they allowed for vendor-specific extensions. Some of these extensions make sense to bring back into the RFC process and help make it part of the Swagger specification in the future.
Right.
Some of them do not. So to make it easier for our developers and other people who are consuming Azure APIs, we've added in behaviors that make it easier to generate out clients.
I see. So we have Azure-specific annotations in here that indicate how we want things done, and then those get picked up later downstream by AutoREST.
Precisely.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yes, so we've taken the prefix XMS, and you'll see XMS pageable. Based on how we send back paged results, we have that page link in there, the next link, and this finds it and gives us a hook to be able to make sure we get the next page for you.
That's nice that we can do something that is Azure specific without breaking a specification.
Absolutely. And we also want to add back in behaviors to the specification as they make sense for the wider open source community.
Right.
So we dig in there and let's take a look. I also have a generation command, which will help us generate. So from the command line, you're probably going to automate a lot of the process around regenerating client code based on new Swagger specifications. I went through and just already wrote these out. And basically, we call AutoREST, and we specify our code generator. We're going to generate out both C# in the generic form and in the Azure form, and Node as well in both. So the first, we look at the code generator, request input. The input can be a URI or it can be a local file.
We're just gonna use local files. Actually go and do a get and bring it down if need be.
Precisely, yes.
Nice.
It's
I can
convenient.
Put this in my builds and have this run as a regular thing.
Yeah, in fact, we see this happening already where teams will write instrumented swashbuckle APIs, use this to generate the code to be used for testing. So their test process is all part of that whole build process.
Nice.
So we specify our namespaces. Our namespaces are Friday and our output directory. So go to give this a run. Let's just go and we're in our Azure Friday directory.
Okay.
And I give it a run and we're going to gen out those four pieces of code. And good to go. And let's
I noticed that it popped up a message for a couple of these that there's this client runtime. Some of them generate code that stands alone and some of them require a helper.
So every single language has a client runtime. And we have a specific Azure client runtime too that extends the base client runtime. So the client runtimes are generic HTTP pipeline type stuff, authentication, different classes that are helpful that we wouldn't want to generate each time.
I see.
Yeah, and they're published out to each package repository, so whether it's NuGet, NPM, or you pick yours.
And the code for this is visible, so like you don't want people to think that they're depending on some black box.
Precisely. It is definitely visible, and if you come out to AutoREST and you take a look, you will find it in the client runtimes.
There it is, right there.
Yeah, so you'll see C#, nice. Java, Node and Ruby, and there's a GoLang branch out there too. So
very cool.
Yeah, we're excited. It's really awesome. So let's take a look at the program that we have. So I'm going to show really quick using the Pet Store client that we've just generated and the Resource Manager client. So right here you'll see our entry point. If we hop down, we'll see. We're going to gen up a new Swagger Pet Store client.
Okay, so that line, like that line right there, line 73, Swagger Pet Store, that's from the generated code. Is that correct?
That is right.
Okay. So that the namespace was auto-generated, everything was auto-generated, and you generated it and dropped it into the same folder as this CS Proj?
That's correct.
Okay.
So you would generate.
Oh, there it is right there. And then, oh, I see, and then they made a models folder as well?
Yes. So in the Swagger specification, you have models, you also have operations, and you have the idea of a client. Operations are decorated onto a client, and they can also be specified in operation groups. So imagine a pet has, a noise-making group, and it barks.
Pet sounds.
Yeah, pet sounds, right?
Okay. Would those have their own namespaces, or how would those be grouped?
So the operations are actually group. This isn't a good operation example, I think. So there are no groupings in this specification, I believe. Let me take a look. So groupings are specified by entering, say, a by convention of name underscore. So this simple example does not have the naming or the names, the grouping.
But here we do. Yeah, we have providers underscore with this one.
Precisely. So we should be able to see that from our code over here. So hop over and jump into the resource management client. And let me do, let's hop over here.
That is a quite a sophisticated one.
Yes, there is a lot going on in this one. So if we look here, we'll see deployment operations. So off of the client, we can get to deployment operations. And let me show that example right here. So we have our resource management client dot deployment operations.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Oh,
I see. So it groups them nice. So you could have really large, sophisticated one one swagger with that's logically oriented with operations and groups of operations turns into a hierarchy, a sophisticated hierarchy of a client.
Yes, and you want to have that progressive information disclosure, right? So that people don't just aren't overwhelmed with a mass of operations. And each offers an override for async operations as well.
Very cool.
So you can do sync, async, and all of it's extendable.
Let's see one of them run.
Let's do it. All right, so we're going to jump into the pet store, and I'm just gonna let it run through for the first run.
I see you're using, you know, iList and basic enumerators, and I assume you can use link on these as well.
Absolutely.
There's your pet store.
So here we go. The pet store listing was find pets by status. Mm-hmm. So the statuses that we were looking for were just available pets,
okay,
and a simple listing of all of our available pets. Okay. Now, right now, we're waiting on the read key, and the next one we're going to execute is actually a listing of our resource providers for a given client. So this is actually a request off of our ARM REST
Azure
APIs.
Resource Manager.
Precisely, yes. Thank you. And it's showing us all of our providers that are available. Now, that's just an example of one of the things you could do. So what happened there? We actually authenticated with a service principal against for our subscription, and then we went against the we auth against AAD, grabbed a token, and we made the request on behalf of that user.
So you've got real basic stuff where you can just make a get and get a list of pets, or much more sophisticated stuff where we can go and interrogate the whole of Azure using the same APIs that Azure uses to manage itself.
Precisely, yes.
Very cool. Well, we're learning all about AutoREST and Swagger APIs here on Azure Friday.